Has Warped Tour been everything you hoped it would be?
And more. There's a lot of great bands on this tour. Saw a lot of surprise bands that I've never heard of that I'm finding out about, and they're awesome.
All right, so as veterans, what have you learned from previous years? Hold on, that's not right.
We are veterans, though.
Well, you are veterans. Yeah. All right, what have you learned from previous years that you're applying now?
That you shouldn't cut the catering line ever. No matter how cool you think you are, don't ever do it. People fucking hate cutters, and they will never forget that they watched you cut in line.
Make a dozen bands angry at once.
What's that?
Make a dozen bands angry at once, right there.
Yeah, you make it. When you cut one person, you cut the whole, everyone behind them, and everyone knows, and they keep that in mind. So unless you're trying to look like an asshole, which I know a lot of people are, they think it's cool to be an asshole, don't do it.
All right, so we are here to celebrate your newest release, From Parts Unknown. I have to ask, given its connections to the Ultimate Warrior title-wise, how does the title reflect the contents?
I think it might not necessarily reflect the contents, but I think that it reflects the idea that we put out a seventh record, and a lot of people didn't expect it. So, you know, I figured it came from places that we hadn't ventured before to kind of dig deeper into ourselves and find it in us to do another record together.
Maybe you guys didn't even expect to get to seven.
I didn't even expect to get to two, to be honest, when I started this band. So it's all, we're grateful for every second that we get to be in this band. But yeah, I think it's a different album for us, and it's good.
I think we're all grateful you got beyond one album.
I think the reason we got beyond one album is because we were kids and we were too stupid to know not to do it. So we just kept doing it, even if it didn't make sense. Even if we played, you know, shows in front of two people, we just kept doing it. That would have stopped a lot of people, but we were young and we didn't know any better. So we just kept going.
All right, so you got Joby from the Bronx to help design the cover.
Yeah.
All right, where's the idea to have somewhat of a semi-retro vibe?
I don't know. I kind of thought that with the title, it should be something more like ethereal and sort of like, I hate to say druggy-ish, but I kind of wanted that like 70s retro druggy stuff. And it just got brought up like Queen, how Queen had the cover with all their faces on it. We're like, well, there hasn't been a cover like that in a while. And so then he threw that together.
So musically, it's one of your most consistently aggressive albums, recapturing a lot of the piss and vinegar from your early work. Yet it's been said that it's coming from a happier place.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Because I think that when you are more positive, you actually see a lot more of the things that made you not positive. So that kind of broadens your scope as far as what you know you're capable of. And I think that even if it is negative, content-wise, it took me abandoning that thought process to finally see it for what it was, and then I could write about it. So.
Now, this also is a consecutive album with a rhythm section being consistent.
Yeah.
Has the tightness of that allowed you guys to get a little faster, open things up a little more?
I mean, I think that having legs as a drummer, I think that, pardon the pun, but he was finding his legs on X Lives, and I think that he really got into his groove on this one, and I mean, not that the playing's bad, but we had never done a record with him before X Live, so we didn't know really how to work in the studio together. But now it all just fell into place, and we drilled it.
All right, so I read that the writing process for the album was uncomfortable, rushed. You had done a tour in there, which rushed things a little bit. You were in buses, dressing rooms. Was that sort of partly a decision to try to get out of some kind of comfort zone, or was it in pure necessity?
It was a necessity, but I mean, I think that, you know, there's a reason for everything, and I think that I don't think we could have written this album if we had, you know, posh studio apartment in Los Angeles. You know, it took us being in Europe in the winter in a bus to really get this aggression out.
You worked with Kurt from Converge for the album, and the end result sounds a lot like a Converge album. It's not overproduced at all, but it still sounds good, with just like a Converge album. What was it like working him within the studio?
It was stressful. He's a very intimidating guy, and we've been a fan of his band forever. But yeah, I mean, I think he kind of made us want to impress him a lot, and you know, he brought out a lot of I don't know, excitement and nervous excitement. I think that is the key to it, is nervous excitement. And I think that he was the producer that got that out of us, and that makes for a really good recording process.
I heard some of the details on the most recent podcast, and you got sick like partway through it, and you just powered through it.
Yeah, well, I didn't power through the sickness. I actually was like completely bedridden for like 5 days, so came back strong, and like I said, it all happens for a reason. I think I kind of needed my time to be very, very limited to get that urgent sort of vibe.
It comes through, totally.
Yeah, I feel it does too, so I think it worked out.
All right, so the first little taste you offered of the album was the music video for Thirst, which was, it got me excited for it, a minute and 58 seconds of just, whoa, I didn't hear this from the band before.
Yeah.
And then you also did Decaying with the Boys, a lot of classic movie references in that, and just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Are there any more installments planned in the misadventures of the Beavis and Butthead guys?
I don't know. We were just hanging out. We played in Buffalo yesterday, and they came out to hang out, and I mean, they're just great to be around. Andy really wants to incorporate a bit more. I would love to, but it wasn't planned from the beginning. So yeah, who knows?
It didn't seem like they were completely done with their story. I mean,
I feel the same way now. I didn't realize that people were going to take to them like they did, but you know. So I don't know. I'd like to see what happens with them.
All right. So there was also a deluxe edition that had two bonus songs, Saturnalia and Cheap Ludes. Were they left off because they didn't flow with the album, or was there a record label decision?
No, they were left off because they were good songs. We wanted to make sure that our beast, quote unquote, B-sides aren't bad songs. You know, you want them to be really good songs. So we figured out which, we figured out an album sequence, and then we said, okay, let's pick two songs out that we wouldn't want to take out, and those are two of them. That Cheap Blues was actually, when we wrote it and recorded it, we're like, this is going to be the single, like, this is going to be the first song we're going to put out, and then we're like, all right, let's make it a B-side, so we want to make sure that there's still content there.
And then you also covered Tourette's by Nirvana?
Yeah.
Was that released, or is that on the docket?
No, it's not released, it's just recorded somewhere.
Okay, yeah. Maybe someday.
I hope so, it's fun to do. We play it live sometimes too, so.
All right, so your old classics in Alternative Press magazine is sorely missed.
I think so, too.
Do you have any other venues for your writing these days?
No, I write for myself, you know. I'm not really big into self-promotion, so I don't like to, like, put myself... I had a blog for a little bit, but then I even got tired of promoting that. So I just write for myself.
Have you seen any movies lately that would be worthy additions to that column?
Jesus. Yeah, I have, actually. Shit. My wife and I just watched... Not License to Drive. Well, I did watch that the other day, but then there was another one. Oh, my God. I can't think of it. It's a guy that... He buys a suede suit. He wants to buy a telescope, but he ends up buying a suede suit for a girl. Can't Buy Me Love. Boom. Just watched that the other day, and I realized how absurd that was. Because the thing about that is that...
$1,000 microscope?
No, it was a $1,000 telescope, but... When the only thing that he saw, he could, as far as he could see in it, was just to the other end of the mall where the girl was standing, and he noticed that she wanted to buy a new suit. So if he ever took it out and he looked at the stars, he would be able to see shit, because he's looking through it to just look at the end of the mall, and he barely sees the girl in the store. So, that was it. I don't know.
Some of those 2X microscopes. Wow, this is twice as good as I
can. Exactly, yeah.
All right. So you've gotten a little bit of a taste of directing for Underwater Bimbos from Outer Space. Assembling clips, sort of.
Yeah, it was assembling clips. I didn't have to talk to anybody.
All right, so with that experience, in one way or another, do you plan on doing any other videos, or Soul Man 2, Howard the Duck 2?
Yeah, Howard the Duck 2 for sure. I got that coming. No, I don't know. I mean, I would love to direct a video. I used to... think a lot more visually than I do now, but I don't really have an outlet for it. I mean, we'll see. Who knows? Yeah.
Down the line, whatever.
Yeah, it's all open.
All right, so I think everyone's dying for an East Coast tour of Soul Patch.
Yeah.
90s cover band. What are some bands you tackle?
Well, Pearl Jam, Weezer. It's a lot of hits. Trying to think of what else. Man, Space Hog is one of my favorites. Silverchair is one of my favorites. Smashing Pumpkins in there. We do some Radiohead. We do some Local H. I don't even know that's probably on here. I think they were a Canadian band, but
they had a single or two, I recall.
Okay, yeah. We do that one. I mean, we'll pretty much do anything. We kind of keep it open to, like, even online, like, what do you want to hear, and then we'll play it. So I think our catalog has, like, 75 songs in it right now. Yeah.
If you're covering 90s, you can't forget Collective Soul and the Gin Blossoms.
Okay, we do Hey Jealousy. We haven't done Collective Soul yet because the problem is that you have to put aside your feelings about the song to realize that the crowd just likes it. And I fucking hate Collective Soul. I always hated Collective Soul, but it is a good song. I mean, they're one song.
They were the most played band on the radio in the 90s, from what I heard.
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly. You got to do it for the kids, you know, not for yourself.
The kids, the
35-year-old kids.
All right. So, speaking of covers, about 10 years ago, I was digging through the radio station vault, and I found you guys contributed a stripped-down cover of Used to Love Her, of Bring You to Your Knees.
Yeah.
Now, what track off of Chinese Democracy would you guys cover?
I hate Guns N' Roses. I'm a vocal anti-Guns N' Roses person. I've never liked them. They dragged me kicking and screaming in the studio to even do that one. So no Chinese Democracy, no Guns N' Roses ever.
I'm going to go back and listen to the reluctance in the vocal take on that then.
Oh, it was I didn't want to do it. I barely knew it. I mean, I couldn't care less about Guns N' Roses. I seriously couldn't.
Now, you've also got a side project, what, Black Metal is it called?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Any details on that?
Actually, I will be finding out details tomorrow. Talking to some people about getting in the studio to do the full length. So, yeah, I mean, we have enough for a full length, and we're just trying to record it and then see what happens. We'll probably just put it out by ourselves and hopefully play some shows and see how it goes.
Keep an eye on your Twitter feed.
Thanks. Yeah, that's pretty much my only access to the outside world is through Twitter nowadays. Yeah.
Alright, so I saw yesterday you guys posted a Fall Canadian tour with Counterparts and Expire. Yeah. What else is in store for 2014?
This is the beginning of a long, long touring cycle. After that we do the States, then we go to Europe, then we're looking at Australia, then we're trying to get back to Japan and maybe some Southeast Asia dates, then I'm sure more America, more Canada. You know, yeah.
Happy to get you in early in the touring cycle.
Yeah, this is cool because this is the first time we've ever opened a touring cycle with a Warped Tour. Usually Warped Tour is the last tour, and then we go, all right, Warped Tour is done, let's start writing now. But now it's like it comes out and ready to go.
We've got you when you're still enthusiastic about everything.
Yeah, exactly, before I fucking hate touring, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Talk to me in 2 months.
All right, so I always end with this one. Stuck in a desert island, one album, rest of your life, what is it?
Radiohead Kid A, probably.
So this is the Warped Tour's 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
What do you remember from your first Warped Tour?
On my first Warped Tour, I saw Eminem, and I saw Limp Bizkit. And Limp Bizkit was playing a little stage, and they brought a kid up.
That was right before $3 Bills y'all came out.
Yeah. Right before that. But here's a funny story. The reason I knew some of the Limp Bizkit songs, even though they didn't have fans and their record wasn't out yet, is because they played in Buffalo a few months before that. And my friend went up to Fred Durst and said, hey, that was a great set. And Fred Durst, like, gave him his phone number. And, like, he's like, give me your address and I'll send you our demo tape. And so my friend, like, sent him his address. And they were friends for, like, a minute. Which is fucking weird. Because my friend must have been, like, 12 and Fred Durst is, like, 25. And, but they, like, kept in correspondence for a while. But I remember him getting the demo from Fred Durst in the mail. He was true to his word. We listened to it, and then we saw them at Warped Tour. So, yeah, that was cool. Yeah, that's my story.
And I've got one last comment. You're off the hook as far as questions, but everyone asks you about the Damn Things. Yeah. And, you know, I know it's up in the air, and that's cool. But that was my favorite album of 2011 or whenever. Yeah, it was great. Looking forward to it whenever.
I do. I hope we get back to doing something because I miss it. It was fun. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
Absolutely.